Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me because you could be anywhere else this Thursday evening, and yet you are here with me. So I just want to say thank you and bless you all. I am excited on tonight about what thus said the Lord. What does the Lord have for us on tonight? Remember, this is not Coach D. This is not about what I have for me or what I have for you, but this is truly coming from the Word of God, and I'm trusting and believing through faith that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me. Why? Because I am a Spirit-filled believer. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe that he has came, that he died, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, and he did that for me, and he did that for you. And I believe that. I've confessed my sins, and I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that he is Lord. So because of all those things, I am a believer. And because I am a believer and have accepted the fact that when Jesus came, he told us he would leave us a comforter, I believe that the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me. And so because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, I know that I have submitted myself unto him to bring forth a message. So it has nothing to do with me. And oftentimes we will miss the message. We will miss the message that God has for us because it didn't come in the package, because it didn't come with through the person. You know, it didn't come the way we wanted it to look. We might have wanted it to look a certain way, but it didn't come a certain way. And so we start paying attention to the messenger and versus paying attention to the message. So I will encourage you on tonight to pay attention to the message, to get Coach D. Just hear the message, and if the message bears witness with the Spirit of God that's living on the inside of you, then that's confirmation. That's confirmation when the Spirit of God living on the inside of me bears witness with the Spirit of God that's living on the inside of you. Amen. So we're going to get into the word on tonight. It's amazing. About 4 years ago, I taught on this same subject matter, and I may tweak it a little bit on tonight. But it came up again. It was around the same time, and I thought it was a perfect word for this perfect hour. You know, God's word, he says, be prepared in and out of season. And I believe that this is a great season for this word that he's going to share with us on tonight, because many of us are going through the storms of life. Many of us are going through different things that's going on. I don't know about you all, and I don't like to focus on the negative and things that's going on, but the obvious is that those things are going on. Those things are going on around us. We see so many people dying daily. We got family and friends and maybe friends of friends that are dying, and we see people dying and for you know, one reason or another, and it's like they're going so fast, and it's like things are really going fast. And I don't know if anybody else noticed that. I was talking to someone today, and we were talking about that, and he said, well, you know, we're in this generation where people just want things now. They want things quick. There's no waiting. There's no discipline. And that's so true. We're a microwave. This is a micro. I can't say generation because generation, if I'm not mistaken, generations is like every, what, 10, 20 years? But I would have to say like the last 30 years or better, 40 years, has just been a microwave type of generation. We want stuff now. I want it now. I want it. And guess what? We brought into the propaganda of the world that now, the now. And now it's not discipline. And that's why we see so many, that's why we see obesity. That's why we see adultery and everything else that we could see, because we are now generations. We want it now. And, you know, discipline, if I could define it in its simplest term, is delaying one's self-gratification. Discipline is delaying one's self-gratification. What do you mean, Coach D? I mean, discipline takes patience. I mean, long-suffering. You got to wait on some stuff. If I wanted to participate in a bodybuilding contest, I can't just wake up one morning and say, well, yeah, I'm gonna be in the Olympics. You know, I'm gonna be in bodybuilding. No, it's preparation. It takes time. You know, some of these people that we see that entertain us, that go and take the gold and the bronze and the silver. These people have been preparing for years. Some of these people have been preparing for 4, 5, 8, 10 years before they ever made it to the Olympics. So they did their due diligence. They were disciplined. They delayed self-gratification. So a lot of times when their friends were going and eating and drinking and doing whatever they wanted to do, They couldn't do that. They had to delay that gratification. Amen. When people are, you know, believers, you've got a lot of single believers that's believing for God to send them a husband, that's believing for God to send them a wife. And so they've been believing, and some of them have been believing for years, and they made a commitment to God that they're going to be abstinent. They're not going to be, they're not, they're going to follow God's word. They're going to follow his commands. Why? Because they want to use the discipline. They want to put the flesh under. They want to be able to control the flesh and not allow the flesh to control them. And mainly for most would be because we want the blessings of God. We don't want to risk missing the blessings and the promises of God because we can't be obedient to God. So, again, we're in a fast generation. Microwave, we want it now. We want it now. And we see the consequences of having that mindset. We see the consequences of it. Even a lot of the churches, and I'm not downing the churches, I'm just saying what I see. This is what I see. And I see a lot of churches that brought into the microwave. You know, you got a lot of churches that's teaching, you know, you claim it. You see it, you believe it, you say it, that's what you want, you claim it, it's yours. And that's not how God works. That is not how God works. When we get to claiming and we go, I'm claiming this, I'm commanding this, I want this, and God doesn't work like that. We better be careful because we may get exactly what we prayed for, and what we prayed for may not be what God wants for us, and we'll suffer the consequences of that. We know that. Many of us have struggled in that. Some of us have prayed for jobs. We may have prayed for homes. We prayed for cars. We prayed for spouses. And then we got what we prayed for, and it turned out to be a nightmare. Now we want to be upset with God. But the reality of it was is that it was God didn't have nothing to do with it. Just because we said we, quote, prayed, unquote, just because we said we believed, quote, unbelieved, just because we said that we trusted God doesn't mean that God gave us that. Because I'm going to tell you something that God gives us is a sure fit. When God gives it to us, it's a sure fit, because it's not to say that it won't be any troubles. It's not to say that it won't be any tribulations. But what it is to say is that when God gave it to us, he prepared us to be able to receive it. What do you mean, Coach D, that he prepared us to be able to receive it? When God gives us something, he knows what he wants us. He already knows what he wants us to have. He already knows the blessings and the promises that he has for us. And so when we trust him to give us exactly what it is that he wants, he's already prepared us for it. So for example, if I could give you an analogy in the simplest form for understanding purposes, if you are believing God for a Range Rover, and Range Rover is a high-end, expensive car, and you're believing God for a Range Rover. Let's just say you want the Range Rover. But then God turns around and he gives you an Expedition. See, some people can see this as, Lord, that ain't what I prayed for. That ain't what I wanted. I wanted the Range Rover, you know. But then you got the Expedition. You wasn't that happy with it because you really wanted the Range Rover. You got the Expedition, and then the light bulb came on. What's the light bulb? You got an understanding, and what you understood is that you could not afford the Range Rover. You could not afford the maintenance of the Range Rover. You could not afford the tires on the Range Rover. You could not afford the gas in the Range Rover. But the Expedition was perfect for you because you could take that Expedition around the corner and pay $45 and get your oil change. You couldn't afford to pay $200-something or $300-something for an oil change on the Range Rover. Oh, glory to God. If you understand what I'm saying, just say hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus, for giving me what you desire for me to have and not always giving me what I want. Oh, hallelujah. Not always giving us what we want. That is not even the message on tonight, but glory to God that he took us there anyway. So let's get to the message on tonight. Glory to God. I'm excited. I am excited. The Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit is in this place on tonight. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for being here. You are welcome in this studio on tonight as we get into this word. So the word on tonight, the message is, let me get to that. Hallelujah. So the message on tonight is effing struggles that keep us failing. I know that sounds harsh, but we're going to take you there. It's a word. Effing struggles that keep us failing. What are those effing struggles that keep us failing? Amen. And I'm going to take us as many scriptures I could go to take us and read about. But there's one scripture, and I'm going to go over a lot of scriptures on tonight. I'm going to tell you, like I always tell you, make sure you have a paper and pen. Take notes. Please take notes, because it's important to take notes. It's important to be able to reference facts. It's important to do your due diligence. Make sure that what Coach D said is really what the Bible says. Is it in the Word, or is it just Coach D saying it? Amen. So take your notes. If you know somebody that might be effing struggling and keep failing, let them tell them about this call on tonight. Have them call in to listen to this message. If they can't listen in now, the message will, after the show, 15 minutes later, the link is there. You could re-listen to the message. I believe that it's going to be a blessing to many. Amen. So we're going to get to the word. And one of the things, I'm hearing a little feedback. I'm trying something different. I'm trying a bunch of different things to try to make sure that I'm giving you guys a show in excellence so that you can hear me okay. If for some reason you are listening in on tonight and I'm breaking up or there's static or you can't hear me well, can you please dial 1 on your dial pad, and that'll let my team know that there could be some difficulty hearing me. Otherwise, I'm going to continue forward. So let's go over to Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 14:22. I'm going to read 22 through 31. Many of us have read this story. We're familiar with this story. We've heard it a million times, but I think God is going to break it down a little different for us on tonight than maybe we've heard it before. And I pray that it will be a blessing to us all. Again, Matthew 14, and I'm going to start with verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land. Buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus, but then saw the wind, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" We're going to deal with the why. Why did we doubt? Why do we doubt? Why do we continue to fail? See, Peter failed. He stepped out, but he failed. And we always hear the saying, nothing beats a failure but a try. So in this case, Peter tried and he failed, but he failed. And the point we're going to drive home tonight is, what are those things that's causing us to fail? What are those things that's causing us to stop midstream and not complete the passions and the desires and the dreams that we have? Why do we keep failing? Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight. Lord, illuminate this word, Father. Father God, bring this word to life that we can not only hear it, but we could see it, Father, and that we could do it. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is productive and that is life, and that your word produces change. So, Father God, we ask for a rhema word on tonight that only you could bring. We pray for the presence of your spirit. Lord, I die completely to self. Father God, I pray that you will rise up on the inside of me, Father. And Father God, that you will use me as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we read the story about Peter. We read the story a million times where Peter stepped out. God called him out, you know. And oftentimes, Peter, I always could just really, you know, I could really understand Peter. I kind of could feel Peter and associate myself with Peter on a lot of things, not just with him stepping out and getting scared because of everything he see around him. But, you know, Peter, a lot of these effing things that I'm getting ready to describe tonight, I could think of stories of Peter with each one of these things. And I'll probably bring up those stories, but I could just see it. Peter, I liked Peter. Peter, like I said, reminds me a lot of myself because Peter was passionate. He was passionate. He was serious about Jesus. He was serious about the things about Jesus, but he had a temperament. You know, Peter was feisty. He was ready to fight. He was willing to slay and die, you know. And just think about it. Peter was one of Jesus, he was one of his besties because Peter was part of the three. You know, Jesus had multiple circles. He had the three. He had the 12. You know, he had the 5,000 and so on and so forth. And Peter was in the three. I mean, he was in his inner circle. So that tells us that Jesus really, you know, Peter was a friend to Jesus. You know, Peter was a friend to Jesus. And I could imagine that, you know, Peter experienced a lot being in his Jesus's inner circle. And yet and still, Peter still, his humanity oftentimes rised up. Even so much so that the Spirit of God, even in Jesus, had to rebuke Peter. You know, and sometimes God has to rebuke us, you know, because these effing struggles that keep us in doubt, these effing struggles that keep us failing in the things that God has told us to go forth, you know, go forth and multiply, you know. He's telling us, go forth and multiply. And a lot of us are sitting at home and we're watching televangelism, you know, watching TV evangelism. And that's fine for some people that just can't get out and go places. That's fine. But some of us, that's not our excuse. It's no excuse for us not to get out. There's no excuse for us not to be out fellowshipping. There's really no excuse. There's no excuse for us to do what God has told us to do, and we're not doing it. So why are we not doing it? So get you a pen and paper. We're going to start. I think I have about six effing things. Six effing things here that I want to discuss on tonight. And some of us is dealing with all six, and some of us may find a couple of them that we could really relate to that speaks to our hearts, that saying, hey, you know what, this is me. And we're going to pray that God will begin to change our hearts and change our minds and take away whatever these effing things are that's causing us to keep failing. Amen. So I'm going to start with number one. Number one on my list is faith. First of all, let's just say, I'm going to give you the biblical definition of faith. You guys know it. If you've been listening to my show any amount of time, faith, according to Hebrews 1, is now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is that thing, you know, the things we're hoping for. All of us is hoping for eternal life as believers. That's what I hope for. That's what keeps us passionate. That's what keeps us going, because our hope is that one day we'll be with Jesus. So that's our hope. We don't see it. It's not visible, but it's our hope. And it's our hope, and it's that we know it's evident. Why do we know it's evident? Because we've seen the manifestation of things in our own lives. You know, some of us shouldn't have never been here. Some of us should have been dead a long time ago. Some of us still should have been addicted to crack. Some of us still should have been prostituting, and some of us still should have been stealing and killing. Some of us have come out of some things, and we know that it was not because of our own accord while we came out. We know that it was a loving God, that it was a Savior that brought us out of that stuff. Some of us is not doing what we used to do, and we know the evidence of that is we know that it's God, and we know that it's God. Why? Because of his word. So when I go through what I'm going through, but then also me going through it wouldn't necessarily mean anything. Me going through it wouldn't necessarily tell me that it's God, but because I'm in his word, and I see what he did for Peter, and I see what he did for the woman at the well, and I see what he did for so many other characters in the Bible. So when he does it for me, guess what? I'm like, this is God. I know it's God. There's a confirmation. There's a spiritual confirmation of that manifestation that tells me this is God. This is the God that I'm hoping to see one day. Again, now faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Peter's faith was shaken. So when we talk about this story, when Peter stepped out, guess what, Macaulay? What was, you know, one of the revelations I got in this story this recent time is that, you know, in the story it says that Jesus called out to Peter. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, you know, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, then come. You know, come, Peter. And so Peter came. So it was the word. Because remember, Jesus was the word. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was the word, came to life. Because it says in the beginning was the word, and the word was, you know. So that was the word in the flesh. So it was the word that called Peter out. And a lot of times when we believe in God and we're getting visions, dreams, and ideas, a lot of times we're getting that because we're in the word. We're in the word of God. And the word of God is speaking to us. It's God speaking to us. A lot of times God is speaking to us through his word. So it was the word that called Peter out. It was the word that said, come, Peter. And as long as Peter kept his eyes and his focus on the word, as long as he kept his attention on the word, then guess what? He was walking the faith walk. He was walking on water. But it was once he took his attention off the word that he began to what? Fail. And many of us could relate to Peter. Yeah, we haven't walked on no water. But boy, we have done some things where we stepped out, and as long as we were keeping our focus on God, we were doing fine. But no sooner we got distracted by outside things, whether it could be the storms of life, whether it could be sickness or disease, whether it could be love woes, you know, other people. But we lost focus and took our eyes off the word. And I tell you one thing, when your eyes is on the word, it's almost impossible to sin. It is impossible to sin. If your focal point is on the word, and we said we're defining the word as Jesus. Jesus was the word in flesh. So when you keep your focus there, it's impossible to sin. It's impossible to miss the mark. We miss the mark when our eyes is off of it. And so I want you to get a picture here. We miss the mark when our eyes is off the word. And so you could imagine in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. When it's in the natural, if you were blindfolded and you were put in front of a bullseye and they blindfold you and turned you around a couple of times, I guarantee you're not gonna hit the bullseye. Most likely you might get kind of close, but not quite, or you could be way off target. You might not even hit the bullseye at all. You'd be all on the other wall. Why? Because you don't have your eyes are not focused. Some people, even with their eyes focused, is difficult to hit the mark. So can you imagine when you take your eyes off of the mark? And that's what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. It's missing the mark. Amen. So we already have defined with faith, and we see that Peter's faith was shaken. He lost focus. He took his eyes off the word. And most of us have a situation or circumstances in our life that causes us to lose and or question our faith. If you have never questioned your faith, then you probably, I don't know who you are. Because I don't care if your name have a bishop in front of it, a prophet in front of it, apostle in front of it. We all have questioned our faith. We all have wondered about our faith. But we have to know this. Even in the questioning of our faith, even in trials and tribulations, even in, we got to know this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we know that if we are not in the word, we cannot build our faith, because it also tells us that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the only way we build up that faith muscle is through the word of God. And if you're not in the word of God, then I guarantee you your challenges in the flesh are greater. Look at somebody that's been challenged in the flesh, and I guarantee you they're not in the Word of God. Why? Because God. Remained on and did not thank you, God, for remaining on and praying in the spirit so that. So let's just continue. Let's continue. So we just got on one place. We said we already came to the establish that Peter lost his, he lost focus. He took and he failed. We understand that the only way we have faith is the word, because it says faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So if you're not getting the word of God, you're not building. And if you're not building your faith, it's impossible to please God. And a lot of us are walking around, we're not pleasing God. Why? Because we don't have the faith that's required to please God. And God is telling me, when you have faith, that tells me that you know my word. Why? Because it's faith, it's his word that increases our faith. According to hearing and hearing by the word of God. So let's get into number two. Number two, so we already identified that one of the essence was faith. Faith. When we don't have faith, and we begin to doubt, and we begin to miss the mark, first of all, we're not pleasing God. We're not pleasing God because we don't have faith. That means we're not in his word. But not having faith will cause us to fail every time, because we're dreaming the things that we're desiring, the things that we're accomplished, because a lot of times we can't have faith that we could do it. We have to have faith that this is the, you know, the will of God. We have to have that faith. And if we don't have faith, guess what? Then we will fall short. Sign of trouble, guess what we're going to do? We're going to give up because we have no faith. Little faith. Perfect example. Peter walked out with great intention. He stepped out on the word. He believed the word. And then all of a sudden, the wind came by. That wind is our life problem. Discipline. The wind, trouble, bills, problems. Those are the winds that come in our life and start swirling around and will cause us to lose our is fastidious. Fastidious. Understand what this word is. Showing or demanding, liberated in this spirit, because she was so focused on the wrong thing. She was so busy make sure that, you know, that everything was in order and that everybody was going to get fed and that the date, you know, the table was set and that this was done and that was done and all this other stuff, you know, focused things that she lost sight of the big picture. And a lot of times, and people operate and can be very critical. It's difficult to please them. There's a tendency to be pessimistic. It's difficult to please them. They're very critical. You know, they're very demanding. They're oversensitive. You know, all this stuff. They're very it's the big picture. And being hard to please. How many of us have been hard to please? You know, I've been that person. I could see me being that person. And I thought, you know, I used to think, for example, one of the areas that I was like going to the restaurant, you know, I had specifics, and there's nothing wrong with wanting what you want, but you know, I was just overboard with it. I had specifics. I wanted my way to be a certain way, and the silverware had to see my reflection. It was all these little details that I got caught up on, but in the getting based on the language that was in those days. But I only could imagine in my day and time, man. That in order to be Peter, you you know, he was showing that he came as a servant, testimony. And we must be willing to let the lesser things die, that the great things will live. And Jesus, this teaching was in his, he was willing to serve, then they should be too. So if I can serve you and your master, then you should be able to serve us. You know, the time is coming. And I will not be here, not in the natural. Yes, I'll leave my spirit behind to guide you and lead you and bring things to your remembrance. But Jesus was here, and he knew that he was building his rock. He said, he told us here, you know, he said, on this rock, I build my church. He knew that he was going to be the people he was leaving behind, and that they were going to have to go out into all the nations and tell about the good news. They were going to have to teach the gospel. I, your master, I'm, you know, because of who I am, if I could do this, then you all should be able to do this too. He was given, he was leading by example. He was leading by example. And we need to begin to learn how to lead by example. And we have a lot of leaders, you know, that's not leading by example. Somehow we've gotten cocky, and we need to be humble. We need to be humble, and God has a way of humbling us. Believe that. He has a way of humbling us because we have a lot of people who've gotten the titles, and they walk in, and they got security walking with them, and you know, they won't, if they go visit somewhere else, they don't want to sit, they don't want to sit in certain places in the church. They got to be up in the seats, up on the pulpit, and you know, and they say it's honor. But really, is it honor, or have you gotten pretentious? Have you gotten beside yourself? Have you gotten to the point where you're no longer a servant of God? Amen? Don't be quick to disregard the message because of the presentation. Don't be quick to disregard the message because of the presentation. Because, see, sometimes we'll respect a person. We'll respect a person and give them the power because of how they look. You know, they walked in and they had on their Armani suit, and they had their armor bearers surrounding them and making sure people didn't get too close. And, you know, they walked them in, they escorted them in, VIP service, right? And so we'll have a tendency to listen to that message, no matter how distorted the message is. Sometimes the message ain't even the word of God, but we'll follow that message. We'll listen because we're being governed by what we see. Our five senses, and we think because of what we see that that's somebody important. Then you could get somebody that can get up and be teaching the unadulterated word of God, and because they're not dressed the part, because they got tattoos, because they got gold teeth, because they got on sneakers, because they got whatever, we looking at them and we have already defined in our minds that guess what? That they don't have the power or the authority. We have already defined in our minds that this is not the word that we want to hear. And we better be careful that what we do, because we are sometimes missing the message because of the messenger. And in God's word, you know, the donkey spoke. So God could use whoever he chooses to use. And he doesn't have to define people by their outer appearance or what they're wearing or their social or economical status. We cannot, or how they talk. Oh, I can't hear the message from this person because they're using double negatives. I can't hear the message from this person because their grammar is not effective. See, all these little things that we look at and we get caught up on and we become critical about, and we miss the message. Look at the people God was using. These was not necessarily elite. He always had problems with the elite. He always had problems with the ones that had titles in front of them. Those were the ones that was giving him the hardest time. It wasn't the people that was, you know, uneducated. It wasn't the people that didn't know how to speak properly. It wasn't the people that couldn't dress right. It was always the educated people, the people that thought they had a little something, something. And that's not, you know, but that's not the ones that's the ones he had a problem with. That's not the ones he was using. He was using people, everyday people like you and I. everyday people that didn't have it all together, everyday people that have been through some stuff, some people that have been in prison, some people who got the message, some people that had to be humble, some people that had to go through some life stuff that he had to break down, that he had to break. And it was in their weakness that he became strong. Amen. Let's go to the third one. So we know we have one is faith. We have the other two is fastidious. And I'm going to spell that for you just so you'll know. And it's F-A-S-T-I-D-I-O-U-S. And it's pronounced fastidious. Okay, fastidious. Okay, with the next one, number three, frailty. Number three is frailty. That's the other essence, condition that keeps us failing. Conditions of being weak and delicate, weakness of character or morals. I'm going to go back to my brother Peter, because I tell you, Peter, he had some challenges. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, he was part of the inner circle. When I think about frailty, you know, Peter had a temper. Peter had a temper issue that was a weakness for him, like many of us. Some of us have, we have some weaknesses. We have some frailties, some things that just, that's character flaws, some things that's just not good. They're not good, and they're not pleasing to God, and we struggle with them, and we trying to do the right thing. Not even just Peter, but I think about Paul telling us that, you know, he got some things that make him do this, and he know not to do this, and he know when to do the right thing, but he don't do the right thing. And then who would deliver him? Peter, same thing. He had a temper issue, you know, a weakness. He often responded based on his emotion in anger. This was displayed, and we know it was displayed in the garden when he cut off the guard's ear. You know, and Jesus, Peter was always, whatever came through Peter's head came out of his mouth. And if you think about it, Jesus was always, even though he was his inner circle, keep that in mind, he was his inner circle, but Jesus was always checking Peter. He, at one point, he had to even rebuke Peter because he knew that it was not Peter, but that it was a spirit that was trying to possess Peter. He knew that it was a spirit trying to operate through Peter because he knew it was a Peter. But Peter was overcome, and Peter will often become overcome by this spirit of anger. And the spirit of anger would cause him to act out and do or say things that was not pleasing to God. How many of us constantly respond out of emotion? I got my hand up. I'm coming out of this storm. I've been in the storm for a few months, and I'm on my way out of that storm, glory to God. But it was my emotion, it was my emotional response and outburst that sent me into the storm. I'll say that again. It was my own emotion and me reacting from those emotions that pushed me into an early storm or pushed me into the wilderness. And I know many of you are dealing with emotions, different things. Maybe your emotion is not anger, you know, because we always want to think anger is the first one we think about because anger has so many, you know, the outward appearance of anger is obvious. But there's other emotions, things that we go through that are not pleasing to God, that keep us locked up. You know, all of these really are emotions. When you think about fear, when you think about being overly sensitive, you know, right now the body of Christ is going through, the world is going through this word offense. Everybody gets offended. Everybody's so overly sensitive and get offended about everything. We can't even talk the word of God. You know, we preaching and talking the word of God, and the world is offended. How dare you say that Jesus doesn't like this? How dare you say that Jesus doesn't like that? But it's the word of God. But everybody's getting offended. Amen? Everybody's getting offended. So those emotions, we got to master our emotions, be in control of our emotions, because emotions is always governed by the flesh. The emotions are the five senses, and it's always governed by the flesh. So it's not that we don't have emotions. God built us this way. Jesus had emotions. It showed that he had emotions, and I think we talked about that last week. But Jesus' emotions, they were resident, meaning they were permanent. When he didn't go into a situation and just become emotional. His emotions about that situation was always his emotions about that situation. When he went in there and he began to turn over the tables for the activities that was taking place in his father's house. He didn't just walk in there, get mad, and say, "Oh, I'm going to turn these tables. They made me mad." It was strategic. He already knew what they was doing in the temple. He had strategically planned it out on how he was going to get them out of his father's house. It wasn't going in there with anger. You know, it wasn't it was a righteous anger. He was going in and enforcing. He was going in and enforcing the rules. A lot of times when we get angry, it's not a righteous anger. Because our anger normally creates other issues. You know, our anger might create us cussing somebody out or might create us ready to fight somebody. You know, it's just not a righteous anger and it's not a permanent. It doesn't have a principle behind it. Amen? And it's a character flaw. And in those times is when it is even more important for us to be quick to repent. We're going to have emotion and we're going to act on them at times. But when you know that you've stepped out of line, when you know that you have missed the bullseye, which we have defined as sin, then this is the time where you want to quickly repent and acknowledge that weakness, acknowledge that character flaw. Lord, forgive me. I blew it. Please help me with this anger. Please guide me and direct me. Help me, Father God, that I don't just speak out against, you know, in anger. Please help me that I don't act out in anger, Father God. I know I'm dealing with this frailty. I know that this is a weakness, Father God, but I don't want this weakness to become an excuse. Father God, I repent. Help me. And then not just saying I repent, help me, but really start trying to work on that thing. Start trying to work on it. You know, if you got to read the word, you know, now we got some things that's before that gives us even better understanding and resources. My mentor tells me, I said, well, how am I supposed to do that? Google it. Google it, Denise. Just Google it. And so Google is there. And all you got to do is say, what does the Bible say about anger? And I tell you, it'll probably pull up 33 scriptures about anger. Proverbs. The books of Proverbs, I guarantee you there's many Proverbs that talk about anger and wisdom. It would give you the word. And remember, when you do that and you say, Lord, I want to do better, please guide me and direct me. And then you start looking for scriptures that speaks to why God doesn't want us to be angry or why we're not supposed to be angry. You start reading those scriptures. What are they doing? We define that in with the number one, faith. Because when you start reading those scriptures about anger, what is that doing? It's building your faith. It's building your faith. It's building your faith. Because why? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the more words you get, the more faith you have. And the more faith you have, the more pleasing to God it is. And then God will begin to change that thing. So now you'll find yourself that you don't speak out like you used to. Not saying that you may not have no, you know, that it may not resurface at some point in time, but you'll notice that you're changing, that you're not responding the way you used to respond, that when things happen that you used to would just blow up, now you find yourself sitting back and just, you know, meditating. What, you know, you'll think on it more. Now, if I do this, then it's going to create this, and then if I do that, it's going to create this, and now you're analyzing. You're analyzing. Now, I don't want to do that because I don't want this result. So I got to do it this way, and I can't respond like that because why? Someone, God, has stepped in, and I don't need to mess up my blessing. And that's how we start thinking, and that's how we begin to change it. And then we'll start replacing that spirit of anger with good things. You know, it's a bad habit, so we're going to replace that bad habit with a good habit. And then we're going to start, you know, repetitiously doing that good thing, you know, replacing the anger. So now instead of me getting angry and going off, I begin to pray. So I'm praying, and I'm praying repetitiously. So praying for me when I get angry becomes easy. And as praying becomes easy, praying becomes a habit. And it, I mean, as that praying becomes easy, praying becomes pleasurable. I find pleasure in praying. And then as praying becomes pleasurable, then I'm praying often. So now I'm finding that anything that come up against me that causes me to want to show a negative emotion, I'm praying on it. So now I'm praying often, and now that praying becomes a habit. So now I have a habit of praying when I get ready to get angry, when I get ready to get upset. I'm now praying. And that it sounds easier than it is, but it's a process, and it's a principle, and it works. Amen. So let's get to number four. Number four. We dealt with, and I keep repeating because I just don't want us to forget it. We dealt with faith was number one. We dealt with fastidious was number two. We dealt with frailties, which was number three. And now we're getting ready to deal with number four. And number four is what we all have dealt with or we deal with, and that's fear. Number four is fear. Fear is a feeling of anxiety and agitation caused by the presence or nearness of danger, evil, pain, unknown, dread, terror, fright, apprehension, fear. We all have dealt with fear. You know, things that's going on in the earth right now, we have a heavy, heavy spirit of fear that fell upon the earth. Everybody's in fear. You know, we could say people are in fear with people, you know, with sickness. We're in fear with COVID. We're in fear with death. We're even in relationships. People are not having successful relationships because they're in fear of getting hurt. So they shut down. It's so much fear, and we're dealing with this fear. Peter showed us as he stepped out, you know, as the word called him, he stepped out on the word and he kept his eye on the word. But then when the winds of the world hit him, fear hit him. Fear. Fear is a number one cause of failure. Fear is another number one cause of failure because we fear. You know, God will tell us to go do something. Ooh, and I can speak to this. I'm going to own my stuff. I'm always trying to be transparent. Sales. I don't like sales, and I have people that know me, you know, my mentor and others that know me. And anytime they start trying to tell me that I'll be good, oh, you'll be good at sales. Why are you not doing sales? You need to be selling, you know, da, 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 da. And I'm just like, when they say that, I start getting butterflies and a nervous stomach, you know, and I'm trying to reduce the spirit of fear. But that word sales, it just do something to me. I don't like sales. I don't want to convince somebody they got to buy something. I don't want to convince somebody why they should buy something. It's just, ooh, I don't want to do it. And guess what? My biggest success, and not that we walking through this life just trying to be millionaires. I'm going to take that away. I'm not walking around here trying to be millionaires. I'm not walking around here trying to be rich. But guess what? There are some things that God has called me to do that require that I have money because I'm living in the natural world. There are some things that God has called me to do that's going to require some kind of financial resources. And I know that God is able. But see, if God is able, which we know he is able, but he's telling us to do something that's uncomfortable, that's pushing us out of our comfort zone, that we could be missing the blessing of God being able to step in and give us exactly what we need to give us the provisions for this vision he gave us, but we can't get it. Why? Because we in fear. Because God, I don't even want to say this, because if I say it, I got to take heed to it. But I got to say it because I got to be obedient. But Coach D's biggest breakthrough in this vision that she has that God has given her to be able to help these people may be tied up in sales. She may have to go and sell something to make that multi-million-dollar sale, to make that multi-million-dollar investment, to begin to step out and do the things that God called her to do. But because she has this, because the enemy has engulfed her with fear to step out and sell, she has not stepped out and sell. So just look at how many years. What if God's been dealing with Coach D with this, and I'm just giving some examples. What if he's been dealing with Coach D with this for 20 years, that he's been trying to push her into sales, and she's been She done put her foot in the, you know how you put your heels in the dirt? I ain't going. And she been just fighting because she don't want to do sales. Can you imagine how she just went ahead, got over that fear, and just got over that fear and was obedient? Can you imagine? We're talking 20 years ago. Can you imagine where she might not, where she may be now, and some of the things that could have manifested already? Because that would have been 20 years of finances, maybe millions and millions of dollars coming through to cause that vision to come to pass. I just want you to think about it. I'm using me. But see, I'm just using me as an example. I want you to see, I'm drawing you a picture. Because when we see pictures, then we could see. When we see it, we could do it. And I'm drawing you a picture. Because see, I'm talking about me and I'm using me as an example. And I'm giving you a picture of something. But this may be your picture. Your picture may not be exactly like mine because maybe your fear is not self. But maybe your fear is your mouth. Maybe you have a fear, and when you get scared, you begin to run off at the mouth. And maybe your mouth has cost you not to be able to get your blessing. Some of you is going from job to job to job to job to job to job, and then you wonder why, because every time you get on the job, it's somebody else's fault. And you begin to complain, and you begin to self-sabotage because it's somebody else's fault. And so you can't keep a job. But you needed that job because that job was going to give you the skill sets and it was going to give you the stability that you need, that while you had this income coming in from your job, that you could have been doing what God told you to do. But you can't do what God told you to do because now instead of you being creative to get resources to help you do what God told you to do, now you got to use that creativity just to pay your bills. Ooh, I'm talking to somebody on tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fear. Peter had fear. He lost focus. He stopped. It was the word that he was speaking to. He was speaking the word. The word called him out. He stepped out on the word. He was headed towards the word, and life swooped by, and Peter got scared, and Peter began to sink. But I got some good news for you. Yes, you may have had fear. Fear may have caused you to fail, and fear may have caused you to start sinking. But glory to God, God have a backup plan. See, when Peter got fear and Peter began to fail and he began to sink, what did he call out? He called out, Jesus, save me. We have the same ability to call out to Jesus, say, Lord, save me. And he's there. He snatched Peter up. Peter didn't drown. Peter didn't die. Peter didn't gargle for water because he snatched them. And he caught them at the nick of time, and we still can. So if you've been in fear and you haven't been able to step out on the vision and thing that God had called you to because you was in fear or anything else that you've been in fear for. Some of you was in fear. You won't go to the doctors and get your annual checkup. You won't go get your prostate check. You won't go get your mammogram. Oh, Jesus, you won't go get your mammogram check because you're operating in fear. So you figure, I'm in fear. I'm just not going to go to the doctor because if I don't go to the doctor, I don't have to find out. But I'm telling you on tonight, don't get rid of that fear and go to the doctor and get your checkup. Stop being in fear. Go get done. And that doesn't mean that you don't have faith because you do your checkup. It don't mean that you don't have faith because you know that you do the proper maintenance. You know, that doesn't mean that you don't have faith. What you do is you go do your proper maintenance. You go do your physicals. You go do what you need to do. And you have faith through Jesus that when you go, everything's going to be fine. And then you also have faith that even if a weapon formed against you, it ain't going to prosper. See, we'll sit up in fear, and a lot of people are losing their lives. It ain't COVID killing a lot of people. Fear is killing a lot of people. So some people will stay in the house out of fear. They'll sit up in the house, ooh, Jesus, it won't go nowhere. Won't interact with people. Won't step out. Won't do nothing. Just in fear. Fear has them paralyzed. And they'll sit in fear and paralyzed and won't step out and do the things they need to do. Fear. Ooh, that fear thing. Fear is something else. Fear has caused many to die, sickness in their body, out of fear. Fear, the unknown, what might happen, the consequences. Fear will paralyze us and cause us to be ineffective and not represent God in excellence. You cannot represent this omnipotent God that we serve in fear, because it's in opposition. We can't represent God. And we run around here saying we Christians. Ooh, Jesus, we run around here saying we Christians. We say we believers. We say we serve a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. And we said all this, but we're walking around in fear and defeated. And what the world is doing is they're looking at us. And they're looking at us and they laughing and they say, ha, ha, ha. See, they out here doing stuff. And not that it's God getting the glory. Not that it's, you know, but we could get the stuff and be giving God the glory. We could be successful. We could be, you know, doing things. And not that we have to look like the world, because we're not trying to be like the world, but we understand that we have a kingdom assignment. They got this song going through. You know, I don't listen to these songs. I don't know who play them and stuff. But, you know, when you, I hate to say it, when you got social media, you hear this. There's these TikTok, I don't know, some TikTok, whatever it is, and people are making these videos. But there's a popular song out. I don't know who made it, what the name of the song is, but it says, the choir part of it, or the repetitive part of this song is, she understood the assignment. We understand the assignment. We understand that we are kingdom citizens. We understand that God has a purpose for us being here, and our purpose is not merely for us to sit back, eat, get fat, and live our best life. That's not the purpose, because it ain't even about us. And people run around here talking about they living their best life and their blessed life and all this other stuff. And they talking about money and they talking about all this other stuff we be talking about that's irrelevant. It's irrelevant to what God has purpose for us. He got a plan. We're on kingdom assignment. And pretty soon, in a blink of the eye, this earth is not going to be here. How many people did you tell about Jesus? How many people did you ask them, you know, did they want to give their lives to Jesus? How many people did you love on? How many people did you meet the need? How many do we, you know, or do we just sit in our comfortable pews? Did we sit in our comfortable pews, you know, getting our word, getting full, burping, belching, go home, and do it all over again? We talking, the Holy Spirit is talking to all of us. Get up and do what I called you to do. The Holy Spirit is talking to all of us. This is not just Coach D preaching. This is the Holy Spirit telling all of us, you on assignment. Understand your assignment. Stop getting twisted. Stop thinking this is about you and your comfortability and how you want to live and what you want to do. This is, you are on an assignment. And guess what? You're on an assignment and your time is limited, and you may not think it, but tomorrow may not be. Tomorrow your assignment may end. And like any assignment, if you ever work with a temporary agency and they give you an assignment and your assignment ends, the first thing they ask you before they send you on another assignment is, did you complete the assignment? They're going to look and see, did you complete it in excellence? Because if you didn't do a good job there, they're not going to send you to the next assignment. If you didn't do a good job on that assignment, they're not going to send you to. Some of you guys are trying to grow. Some of you guys have been praying and believing God for bigger and better things, and you're wondering why it didn't get answered. My question would be to you, how did you handle the last assignment? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. So we're going to get to it. We're going to get down to the next everybody hearing status and stuff, and I've just been going, and hopefully, let me see. Are you guys still hearing status? Hearing static? I've just been going, and I didn't even look. Are you guys still, if you're still hearing static, let me know. Let me know. Maybe if you could put a 1 to let me know. Let's see here. Is this better? I'm going to try this. Hopefully this is better. I apologize, you all. I hope you guys didn't miss the message. The enemy has been busy on this one. It's going to replay, and when it replays, it won't have the status. But we will, if it's not clear, I'm going to make sure that I resend out the status. I mean, resend this out because this. I don't want you guys to miss this message. This is a great message, and I can understand why the Gittimes is. I can understand why the Gittimes are giving us a hard time in this. In this, because they don't want you to get it. They don't want you to get it. Amen. So let's get to it. We have already gotten through 1 through 4, and let's go on. We're getting close in time, and we are over in time. So would you guys let me recreate my agreement? We only got 2 more that we need to deal with, and I'm already over the time, but we only got 2 more that we need to deal with. So let's get to those, and I just pray that you guys will forgive me and that you are accepting me, recreate my agreement to take up a little bit more time. So let's get to number 5. Number 5 is fickle. Fickle, marked by a lack of steadfastness, consistency, or stability, given to erratic changeableness. I found myself at times to be fickle, wavering in my decision. Should I do this? No, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it, but no, I don't really want to do it. And we just all over the place. We're all over the place trying to figure, you know, are we going to do it, not do it. What I would have you to know is while we're being fickle-minded and so forth, the Word of God, our brother Matthew tells us in 6:24 that no one can serve 2 masters. He tells us that. That's a fickleness. You know, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And then James, our brother James, tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then he goes down in 4 of James. That was James 1 and 8. And then in James 4, he goes on to tell us that we are an adulterous people. We're an adulterous people. We're constantly committing adultery on God. He's the groom. We're the bride. Remember, he talks about that in the Bible, that we're the bride. He's the groom. He's coming back for his bride. And we are adulterers. What do you mean, Goldie D? What you mean we're adulterers? If you understand what adultery means, you know, that you're, you know, when you're married. In the natural, when you're married and you go out and have an affair, whether it's a physical affair or if it's just an emotional affair, when you go out and have an affair, that's called adultery. And in the Bible, back in the old days, adultery was, you know, you would get murdered. You could get killed for committing adultery, right? And so he said we're an adulterous nation. We're adulterous to the point where we'll put our kids before God. We'll put our spouses before God. We'll put our jobs and money before God. And we use excuses. Oh, Jesus, we use excuses when we're doing this. We use excuses. Well, you know, I gotta make this money, you know, so you know, you ain't going to church. And I'm not saying the church makes it, but you're not having fellowship. You ain't trying to make Wednesday night Bible study. You ain't trying to make Sunday service. You ain't trying to fellowship. You're not trying to do nothing. You ain't even trying to pay your tithe. But you will break your neck to work overtime. You will break your neck to work an extra day. You'll break your neck to stay after. You will break your neck to do it to have this adulterous affair with this thing called work. But then you got all these excuses of why you can't be that committed to the things that have to do with God. We do that. We get in relationships. Woo! Jesus, speak. Holy Spirit. We'll get in relationships. And some of us have been faithful and we've been committed in our walk. And we, you know, we have prayer time and we do this and we do that and we do this. And then we'll get involved in a relationship, start dating or whatever, and then all of a sudden we're not doing what we used to do. God gets put on the back burner. It's an adulterous affair. And he says it in James chapter 4, and I think it's 4, he tells us that we're adulterous people. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? It's against God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be friends of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So you either one or the other. He tells us that, you know, double-minded. You know, he talks about being double-minded. It talks about we can't serve two masters in Matthew. And then it goes on to tell us that, you know, being friends with the world makes us enemies with God. Fickle. We can't be fickle. Pick a side. Pick a side. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve the world. Pick a side. But he said you can't do both. Because even if you think you, even if you think that you're serving God and you're still doing all this stuff in the world, guess what? God's word is not mocked. He's telling us. He said, church, get right. Church, and we can't keep playing around with it and coming up with all these excuses of why we're not following God. Why are we not following God? Why are we letting the world dictate to us things that we know in the word of God says no. Don't you do that. Don't you say that. And I know I hear people say we're human. We're human. Yes, we are human. We are living in the flesh. We were born into sin, but we were born again. And as being born again believers, yes, we have the ability. We do have the ability. No, we won't always get it right. He said that anyone that said that he don't have sin is a lie. So we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, we will blow it. That's what Jesus came, and I keep saying this. I want to say this. But stop using the excuse of being human is a license to sin, because it's not. And we're going to be held accountable. We are going to be held accountable for it. Don't make it a lifestyle. We're going to be held accountable. And let's get over to number six. This is the last one, and then we can go home. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. This is a big one. Our inability to forgive ourselves and others. And many of us are failing because we don't have the ability to forgive. First and foremost, ourselves. Some of us don't forgive ourselves. We beat ourselves up. We failed before, and we won't even forgive ourselves from failing before. We're still holding on to our past failures in our now. And we talked about now last week, now being defined as 0 to 5 seconds, that period of time that God can speak a dream vision idea, that period of time where God is where God is. But now. You know, now, that's when God is speaking to us. God is speaking to us in the now. And we defined that last week. If you wasn't listening last week, then go online or hit me up, and I'll make sure I get you a link for last week's show. But we, you know, we haven't forgiven ourselves for the failures of our past. And so now, guess what? If you don't forgive yourself for your past failures, you're never going to be able to move forward. You're never going to be able to move forward. Because if I didn't forgive myself for blowing it yesterday, I'm too busy focusing on yesterday's failures to be able to see the glory of today's success. Woo! I'm so busy focusing on yesterday's failures that I don't have the ability to see the glory of today's success. So we got to forgive ourselves. Yes, I blew it. I missed the mark. I should have, could have, would have. I should have went and got this license. I should have went and did this. I should have invested in that. I should have. But guess what? I didn't. Whether it was out of ignorance or stupidity, I didn't do it. And guess what, Denise? I forgive you. I forgive you for not doing that. So now let's move on to the next thing. Now let me see if I can do better now. Let me see if I can do better now. So we got to be able to forgive ourselves. That's the first focal point. The next one is forgiving others. And we've got to be able to forgive others. And I don't care what they did to me. I talk to people all the time. And I hear people say, nah, Coach D, you just don't know what they did to me. I ain't ready to forgive. I got a book out. If you guys haven't got my book, if you haven't read my book, get it, read it through Amazon. It's called Processing the Pain, Arthur Gwethelman, Denise Burrell. Get the book. I've had so many people that come to that. I guarantee you, when I have given, when God has led me in the spirit to give my book to somebody, the people that I have given my book to have always come back and buy six, seven books from me. And so it's not me, but what God used in that book. But I've had other people that have gotten that book and read it, got halfway through and told me they couldn't read it no more because they were not ready, because it pricks the spirit. It convicts the heart, and it makes you have to make a decision, because you can't continue in the book and not process. The book is a transformational guide. So it's like a workbook. It walks you through. It has questions. It's asking you these personal questions. It's asking you, you know, did you, have you, how did you do this? Okay, come on, let's pray. Let's talk to the Lord about this. So it's giving you a step-by-step. And I've had people say, I just can't do it because I'm not ready to forgive that person for what they did. And so they are acknowledging, I can't forgive, and reading your book is just too emotional. It's too much for me because it's making me have to make a decision. And guess what? They're not unique, because the world, we in the world, we have a tendency to think that if I don't know, I don't have to be held accountable. So we don't want to know. So we don't seek to know. We don't seek to find better. We don't seek to know better, because we want to be like the ostrich with our heads in the sand, because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to know it, because if I don't hear it, see it, and know it, then I don't have to be held accountable to it. But that's not true, because if he puts it in your pathway, if he puts it in your pathway to give you the knowledge and you choose not to partake of the knowledge, then guess what? You're still going to be held accountable. So you might as well read it and get through it. You know what I'm saying? But forgiveness is important, because our whole walk is about that. You know what I'm saying? Our whole walk is about love. It's about love. It's about forgiveness. You know, that's why Jesus came, so that we could be forgiven. Amen? He came and he died a sacrificial death for us to be forgiven. And God says it clearly in his word. I mean, if I forgive you, then you're supposed to forgive others. That's the key. That's the key. With, you know, what's the sense of saying, hey, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, you know, and then you're going through all of this, and then you get blocked from all that you're working towards, because most of us are working towards what? Eternity. Kingdom. And you're doing all that, and then you don't forgive. And forgiving is like, if you know anything about multiplication, or I'm not a mathematician, but zero is a negative. And zero times anything is what? Zero. Unforgiveness is a zero. So you could go out and feed the homeless. You could shelter the orphans. You could preach on the corners. You could bathe the babies. You could paint the building. You could do all these great things. Those are numbers. I mean, you know, that's, let's just say that's 4 times 6 times 9 times 10, and it's adding up. Good things, right? But if you got unforgiveness, it's a zero. Check out Mark chapter 11, Mark 11, 22 through, I believe, 25. Mark 11, 22 through 25, read it. It speaks for itself. I'm not just making up something. And if you look at it and you read it and you see it as an equation, you'll see that unforgiveness is a zero. So I don't care what you do. If you got unforgiveness in your heart, then everything else just becomes a negative. It becomes a zero. We are unlikely candidates, totally flawed, at times with a lack of faith. We could be obnoxious, fastidious, frail, and fearful, and yet God has chosen us to go into all the land and tell of his love, his grace, his mercy, his faithfulness, and yes, the ultimate forgiveness. These are what, as kingdom citizens, these are the things that we should be sharing with the world. We should be sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can't allow these effing struggles to cause us to fail. We can't allow these effing struggles to cause us not to move forward and the things that God is telling us to move forward. So we gotta take control of these effing struggles. And we're talking about the forgiveness and fickle-mindedness and fear and being obsessed and worrying and critical about things that don't really matter. We can't continue to hold on to these things. We can't continue to allow these things to cause us to fail in life. We gotta continue to build our faith. We can't be faithless. Because being faithless is impossible to please God. So we got to build our faith. We got to stop being so critical and fastidious. We got to stop being in fear. And we got to stop being, you know, frail and weak in areas. We all weak. But we got to work on those weaknesses. It's okay that we have weaknesses. Acknowledge them and begin to work on them. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for this word on tonight. We thank you for bringing the word to us, Father. Father God, we know that it must be a powerful word, Lord, because we see that we came with some friction. We came with distraction. And Father God, but I thank you that the word went forth anyway, Father. Father, I thank you for each and every person that fought. They fought to hear this word on tonight. They didn't give up because of the sound. They didn't give up when the system went down. But Father God, they fought to hang on to hear this word on tonight. And because of their faithfulness to fight through, Father God, I pray that you will bless them exceedingly, abundantly, above all they could think or ask, Father God. You know their needs, Father. And Father God, we just thank you right now that you're meeting their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father God, we just thank you on tonight. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. I want to thank you all for your commitment. Thank you for your fight. I'm going to go ahead once this link is available and I check it out to make sure that it's no glitches. I will make sure that I send this out. If you don't get it and you want it, please reach out to me. You can reach out to me at mcdnetworkinc@gmail.com. Again, that's mcdnetworkinc@gmail.com. Or if you have me on Facebook, then you can hit me up through Messenger on Facebook or Instagram, and I'll make sure I get you a link out for tonight's show. Again, I thank you all. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated, and I will see you next Thursday. Be blessed.